Newly installed Pope Francis is already being hailed as a servant of the people. In his first public appearance in St. Peter's Square yesterday, he asked those present to pray for him as he starts his papacy. That action was praised as a mark of humility. I spoke this morning with Father James Heft, founder of the Institute for Advanced Catholic Studies at USC.
He bridges two cultures. His roots are Italian. His mother and father were obviously Italian, but he grew up in Argentina. He's perfectly bilingual, but he knows more than just two languages. He also brings together the southern and northern hemispheres. That's impressive. He's the first one to mention the name Francis. And you might ask, well, what's in a name? Well, quite a bit. And for him to call, as a Jesuit, to name himself after Francis of Assisi, it's rather extraordinary.
He's the first man to take a new name, a fresh name, since Lando I in 913 A.D. What kind of ethos does Francis of Assisi bring to this papacy?
Several things suggest themselves. The great emphasis on poverty. He's known for living in a very simple way. And he really dislikes what you might call, showiness and vanity. The second one, I don't know if you remember the story of Francis, but God spoke to him and said, I want you to rebuild my church. And Francis first interpreted this as rebuilding a broken down building. And eventually he understood, no, it's not this building. It's the people of God. It's a renewal of the whole church. And this might be part of this man's vision. And there are two other things, too, that might be involved. Francis of Assisi has this great reputation well beyond Catholicism. Everybody loves Francis. A love for the earth might be there. And then finally, the story of Francis, who, unarmed, at a time when there was only battles between Muslims and Christians, went to visit the Sultan. And without any violence, talked with him. The Sultan was very impressed and sent him back with guards to return to the Christian side. And so who knows? There may be something here going on with even the dialogue with Islam, a great religion that has the same number of followers as does Christianity and Catholicism.
What kind of reactions have you been hearing from your peers, from other members of the clergy, other theologians?
One that's obvious is that he was on no media's list of front runners. The second is somebody made the comment that, there's something to be said for a way of electing your leader that can take place within 3 days at a minimal cost when you compare it to the two-year-long presidential campaign in the United States. And while people could question how democratic it was, nonetheless, it seems to be functioning for about 2,000 years.
Just because you did draw a political comparison there, I wonder, to what extent is this office political, and to what extent can we discuss it politically without losing sight of its religious significance?
I think you can talk about the papacy, the structure of the church, in sociological and even political terms. That's not the problem. The problem would be that if you talked about them only in those terms, it's more than that.
That was Father James Heft of USC's Institute for Advanced Catholic Studies.